Welcome to Dream Journey, Breaking the Dream Barriers. I am Georgia Liartz, your host. Today we will explore Women's History Month and burnout. This is part one. In honor of Women's History Month, we are tackling an issue that has plagued working women for generations. It's called burnout. This is also for men because men also experience burnout. Consider who in your life is struggling in their career and needs to be realigned. We will explore women's roles in the workforce and how everything evolved from Rosie the Riveter to today and why burnout is so common among women. Career issues are not medical conditions, and burnout is not a medical condition, it is a syndrome. But burnout left unresolved, which leads to the bottom of burnout, can develop into conditions such as depression. While there are some intersections to be noted between life and career coaching and counseling, here's the truth. Life and career coaching does what therapy does not. It is action-oriented, solutions, and future-focused, whereas counseling is for past issues or mental health conditions, such as depression or end-stage burnout. Career coaching is about strategy, job market expertise, hiring trends, skills-based training, getting unstuck, role changes, finding a path or a new path, leadership, transitions or pivots, and personal branding. Career and life transitions are not a mental health disorder. They're a change management and strategy problem, and that's where I come in. I design solutions that work. During World War II, women were called to work in factories and other essential industries while the men went off to war. Rosie the Riveter became the symbol of female empowerment, proving that women were just as capable as men in the workforce. But when the war ended, many women were expected to return to domestic life. If you'd like to read more about Rosie, you can check out my book, Dream Journey, Breaking the Dream Barriers, A Guide to Bridging Identity Gaps in Life and Career. It is available on Amazon.com. Now let's fast forward to the women's rights movement of the 1960s and the 70s, and we see this shift. Women fought for workplace equality, reproductive rights, and economic independence. However, this came at a cost. Trying to balance career ambitions with family life became the norm, and the expectation to do it all emerged. Today, despite decades of progress, women still face immense pressure to juggle multiple roles, leading to very high rates of burnout. And that is why I help you shift from doing it all to finding alignment and learning the art of being. So what is burnout? Burnout is not a medical condition unless you are at the end stages of burnout. It is a syndrome which requires an interdisciplinary approach. An expert career coach, along with a medical team if someone is in the end stages of burnout. The World Health Organization defines burnout as a condition resulting from chronic workplace stress that hasn't been successfully managed. Stress isn't a condition, but if it is left unresolved, it can lead to health issues. When the medical system and my employer denied the break from shift work that I needed, and they expected me to be a robot, not a human, I ended up in a downward spiral. Then when I landed at the bottom of burnout, they forgot that I was a professional woman who needed to get off shift work and pivot from a toxic environment. Now let's talk about the 12 stages of burnout. And those are identified by psychologists Herbert Freudenberger and Gail North. Stage one of burnout is the excessive ambition or the compulsion to prove oneself. Just think about it. You leave your parents' nest for college and you find yourself shifting from a child to adult, and you have an expectation to now have not just a job, but a title to define you, kind of like a label. You enter a world of judgments that people make based on the career path that you choose. Most college-bound students lack tools for self-discovery, pathfinding, and learning how to find alignment and get realistic, sustainable change as they grow in their careers. So they are part of the clientele that I serve. If we can give them the right tools so they can avoid burnout later in life, that is solving a critical problem. I remember trying to break the glass ceiling. I worked an average of 180-hour pay periods on rotating 12.5-hour shift work instead of the typical 120-hour pay periods. I was in a male-dominated field where there were limited positions to move into leadership, especially for women. Excessive ambition often stems from the belief that self-worth is tied to achievements. Many women, especially those breaking barriers in male-dominated fields, feel that they must work harder to earn respect and validation. When society conditions women to believe that they must do it all to be successful, excelling in career, family, and personal growth, there is an internalized pressure to prove oneself repeatedly. We are also conditioned by the political landscape and the marketing landscape that we can work in any field. Only the glossy side is revealed to us, not the dangers or the issues that we might face as women. I remember when things began falling apart, and I was driven by my employer and the people in my life that it wasn't okay to take a break and take care of my health. There were rules in place that you couldn't work a shift unless you had, I think, at least 4 hours of sleep. Sometimes I didn't sleep at all because of my neighbor's barking dog. I knew I needed a break, and I asked for support. I should have been pulled from working shift, but my command and the doctor ignored it. It wasn't okay to take a break and reclaim my health. From there, it became a downhill descent into the bottom of burnout where I couldn't work. My health was destroyed along with all dimensions of wellness, and ironically, the medical system wasn't able to help me get back up. Recently, I was a guest on a podcast with the Misfit Nation, and I highlighted the transition and systemic issues that don't enable reclaiming your life to even a minimum standard of health or occupational wellness. Think of the bottom two tiers of Maslow's hierarchy, which are getting your physiological and safety needs met. Some people call it the transition battlefield for the obvious reasons. Psychologist Alfred Adler's theory of the inferiority complex suggests that when people feel inadequate, they often overcompensate with excessive ambition. This pattern is common among high-achieving women who, despite their success, struggle with imposter syndrome, the feeling that they're not good enough and must consistently work harder to prove their worth. While I don't think I've ever felt inferior or had imposter syndrome, I know quite a few women struggling with it, and I will create a future episode about imposter syndrome. Professional identity is how a person defines themselves through their work. I also discussed this with the Misfit Nation. Women who highly identify with their careers may feel this intense drive to achieve because their self-image is intertwined with success. The downside, this can lead to overcommitment, perfectionism, and an ability to step back, and that sets the stage for burnout. But not all burnout is driven by the design of a work center or your leadership. It can be driven by a multitude of other factors. Research from Lehman and McKinsey, and this is 2021, shows that women in leadership positions experience higher rates of burnout, up to 42% compared to men at 35%, as they often take on what is additional and invisible labor, such as mentoring, DEI initiatives, and emotional support roles in the workplace. These are tasks that often go unrewarded, but they're part of the company culture. And there's other research that reports burnout rates as high as 89%. Just what drives excessive ambition? Well, one thing is cultural conditioning. Women are often expected to work twice as hard to be seen as competent, reinforcing the need to overachieve. I spent most of my 24-year military career working twice as hard as men, and still not always compensated equally. In retrospect, that was a huge red flag. But I experienced the same thing in the private sector. And then there is perfectionism and the fear of failure. The belief that mistakes define worth drives relentless ambition. I was taught attention to detail and precision because of some of the critical high-performance environments that I worked in, where a mistake can cost lives and the mission. In my book, I write about the tragic events that unfolded in my career in the early 90s. In some careers, it takes only a split second for a catastrophe to happen. There's also the lack of workplace recognition. Women may feel that they constantly have to prove their value to be taken seriously. Who can relate to the cycle of, you proved it, but you're still not enough, and now you have to prove it again, and then you have to keep repeating that? Have you ever done all of the work and watch a male coworker get the recognition while you remain invisible? There's also economic and career insecurity. The gender pay gap and fewer leadership opportunities push women to work harder to stay competitive. From the military to the private sector, this is true. When there are limited positions, it drives a scarcity mindset. A major theme in my book is about evolving. Helping women find true collaboration is important. Together we rise, but it also requires a level of trust. And then there's workaholism as a coping mechanism. Some women use work to distract from deeper emotional struggles or personal dissatisfaction. And this leads us to the end of today's talk on burnout. If you are struggling in your career, know that you are not alone and that there is a coach who can expertly guide you to alignment so you can reclaim your energy, wellness, and dreams. And until next time, mind the gap. Thank you.